introducing my man.
Hi, and welcome to Wish Upon a Star. This is Arundel Banks, your host. Wish Upon a Star is a dynamic radio program spotlighting talent in the arts arena with discussions on, and challenges, matter of fact, and advice in making it in the visual, musical, literary, painting, and performing arts. As a unique part of the show, we interview professional guests, experts in the fields of entertainment law, copywriting, studio recording, publishing, and promoters, all relative to this highly competitive industry. Today's broadcast is going to actually go into one of our segments we have called A Starlight Topic. As we enter into our third year of broadcasting, our Wish Upon a Star program coordinator, Denise, and myself, your host, we sat down and did a cursory overview of our guests during this time period. We hope you will take the time to review some of the past interviews in our archive link at www.bbbsradio.com, station 2. In our overview, we saw a commonality in our guests who became successful and experts in their chosen profession. So we asked ourselves, what was their primary motivation not to give up on their dreams and goals? Not until they reached their success. And that turned out to be their passion. We thought it would be a great topic at the start of this year, headlined as a Starlight Topic, and take some time to ask our listening audience, what is your passion? And then we're going to discuss, where do you start in finding your passion? Rather than to get too philosophical, we're going to outline some strategies about passion, name them, and then come back and discuss each strategy. Usually, when we write or if I do a motivational talk and I'm going to talk on a particular subject, I really look that subject up to find the definition. What is the broadened definition of a certain word? Well, passion comes from the Greek verb, which means to suffer, and it is a very strong feeling about a person or thing. Passion is an intense emotion, a compelling enthusiasm or desire for something. It says passion may be a friendly or eager interest in or admiration for a proposal, a cause, discovery, or activity, and, of course, even love, to a feeling of unusual excitement, enthusiasm, or compelling emotion, a positive affinity towards a subject. Passion can be described as tensions, inclinations, desires, and aversions carried to a certain degree of intensity combined with an intrinsic sensation. So what we're going to do is sort of outline and discuss strategies of passion. Passion, number one, passion requires quiet. Number two, passion asks you to become sensitive to what ignites you. Number three, to identify passion, you have to ask yourself serious questions. Number four, clues to finding your passion. Number five, focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. Number six, challenge your fear. Take risk. Number seven, identifiable passion. Number eight, list of I am. Number nine, passion requires positive thinking. And number 10, criticism versus encouragement. We're going to go back now and sort of give a little general explanation of each one of these. Passion requires quiet. You must begin to just practice self-care. Spend time with yourself and slow down. Take care of your body and your mind. Engage in activities that move you out of your head and into your body. For example, some of these can be, turn off that TV. When you're on the computer, just look at certain things, but not too intense with social media. Meditate. Find a corner, a little area in your house, and just meditate. Close your eyes and try not to think of just about anything for about 10 minutes. Just be quiet. Passion asks you to become sensitive to what ignites you. Look around and be sensitive to your environment. Pay attention to those things that uplift your adrenaline. What inspires you to think in a different way? What touches you? Watch for clues and make a note from conversations of others. When you're trying to find your passion, you need to pay attention to your actions and reactions. If somebody said something, how do you react? Or do you take an action? What are the purchases? If you go to the store, could it be a grocery store, could it be a retail store? What is it that you always have to buy something, and when you get home, you say, well, I already had one. That's being sensitive to what ignites you. What are your most consistent rituals that make you feel good? Number three, to identify passion, ask yourself serious questions. Now, I find this one very hard that most people can't do. It's called the verb sphere. Things you tell yourself, things you don't tell yourself. Things you tell others, things you hide from others. But what passion or desire you are afraid to admit to yourself and others, you have to identify that. What do you love? And what do you dislike about yourself? Who do you know that is doing something you would like to do? Can you visualize yourself doing this? What, if anything, is stopping you from moving to your passion? That is excluding excuses. Because we can make excuses for just about anything. So an example of this also can be named something you cannot fail at. It is something that you do well. You may unconsciously do it all the time, but not sure whether you're good at. Something you do well naturally. And you should write all these things down. Take notes. Keep a journal. You can go to the dollar store and get a book. I know one story when I was teaching. One of my students said her mother made very good pies. Now, I told her, I said, well, let her bake one for me and bring it in. because it was a passion that she loved to do, to bake pies. So she bought one in. And I said, well, Thanksgiving is coming up. Make her, you know, a sweet potato pie. And she put it was absolutely due. I said, why don't you tell your mother to go ahead and just put out a little flyer, because she was in, I was teaching computer technology. Make up a flyer for your mother. And just see if she can take orders for Thanksgiving for pies. And well, I said, what kind of pies? How many varieties does she have? She said, she has about 7 or 8 varieties. I said, great. I think about 2 or 3 months later, she came back and she hugged me and said her mother was happy as could be and the business was moving up. A passion that she identified that she didn't think that she could do. Number 4. Clues to your passion. These are things you hold on to and can give, and they can give you insight to what you like most. These things identify your interests and passion almost unconsciously. I like to collect clocks. I mean, I just don't know what it is. If I see a cute or pretty or antique clock mostly, I just got, and I have a collection of clocks. It could be rare books, because you can have more than one passion. But there is one thing, possibly, that you do or collect more than you do other things. Identify those. These are clues. What about vintage pieces? I know a friend of mine, he collected keys, and I thought that was the wildest thing of anything. Old keys. And he made a collage of them on his wall. Mementos. If we are of a certain age, there are certain things in our grandparents that may not be valuable to you in this day and age, but it could be to someone else. What about poetry from love letters? Remember once upon a time we used to receive love letters? You could take those love letters and make a book, write a book of poetry, or use it to put on a greeting card. Clues to your passion. Number 5, focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. In finding your passion, don't say, well, I would love to go to the moon. Excuse me. Avoid thinking exaggerated negativity, I call it. Don't use negative language. Keep statements positive. Negative repetition can lead to disbelief. Oh, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Well, I can do this, but I can't do that. Negativity. Seek help in accomplishing things. But when you do this from other people, you don't necessarily have to get others' approval. I'm sure some people have been in a situation where you have naysayers, they call them. You have an idea. Oh, that won't work. Won't nobody buy that. Forget that. Get some constructive help. Focus on your capabilities and positive qualities. All of these things can be written down. All you have to do is to know yourself. Number 6. Challenge your fear and take risk. Passion makes you start doing something about finding it. Challenge any fears with an action. Start to expand your comfort zone. Increase your self-esteem. Try something new. It may lead you to your undiscovered passion. Let's say you have a lot of silk flower arrangements in your house. During the holiday seasons, everybody loves to have arrangements, wreaths to put on their door that they can use from year to year. The craft stores will teach you how to do this. Let's say you're good at specialty dishes. You can make specialty dishes is like lasagna. Not everybody can make lasagna. Not everybody can make good potato salad. Or it can be something else that's special. It could be bakery. You can bake cookies better than you. Brownies. It can be anything in any type of field. Maybe you knit very well. Crochet. And, of course, our artists. We know about our actual painting for our artists. What about a service? Challenge your fear and take risks. What about a service to aid seniors? To go grocery shopping for them. You'll become trustworthy. That'll be a great, and plus you'll be helping someone. In challenging your fear and take risks, you have to take a leap of faith. My goal and my dream was to open an art gallery. After looking around, I found that a lot of art galleries don't take too many new artists, unknown artists. So I said, well, I want to open my own art gallery. So I saved up a little bit of money. I found a place. And I realized my dream and my goal by taking that leap of faith. And I enjoyed it very, very much. I'm going to take a little break right there. But just sort of ponder on those facts. If you want to go back and listen to all of this, you most certainly can at our archive link. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Let's get loose.
This straight.
Yeah. What up, y'all? Just came to your city to say what's up.
What up?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me love.
Show me love.
Hey.
Hop off the plane to a new show.
What up?
And all the shorties, they be waiting on me. Thugs packing they pistols. But ain't nobody aiming on me. Got a pocket full of fresh dough.
Dough, baby.
So you know I got a bacon, homie.
Bacon for me.
And I'm thankful. Get whatever you want.
Hi, and welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host, with a special program today called A Spotlight Topic. And in the spotlight topic, we're talking about what is your passion? And we're putting this question to you, our audience. Where do you start in finding your passion? I've outlined 6 strategies so far, and we will continue with that. This is Wish Upon a Star, broadcasting on bbsradio.com, station 2. You can listen to all of our previous broadcasts in the archive link on the site. We also welcome comments and suggestions. Send these to us at email musicradio34@gmail.com. You can also friend us on Facebook, get us on iTunes and Craigslist. Again, we have a special program today asking the question, what is your passion? And where did one start in finding your passion? Strategy number 7, identifiable passion. Once you come face to face with your passion, you have to see if you are ready to take on the challenge. You need to look at yourself from the inside out. Begin to remind yourself of your positive qualities. Look into the mirror and recite affirmations of self-worth. Read or listen to motivational self-worth materials. Make a list of what others have said about you. Number 8, list of I am. You want to have a checklist of what you are, meaning I am. Here's a starter list that you could use. I am caring, charming, competent, dependable, energetic, fair, friendly, good-natured, helpful, inventive, kind, likable, modest, non-judgmental, outgoing, polite, reliable, sincere, sociable, trustworthy, understanding, unique. This in no way completes any list. And we're not talking about being narcissistic. We're talking about knowing who you are, what you are capable of doing. Now, what I want you to do is to make up. You can use this list and then add and make your list of I am. Number 9, passion requires positive thinking. Change negative thoughts each time you are being critical of yourself. We all do it. We all do it. We can't avoid, it seems, exaggerations of the negative. Something saying something like, I always make that mistake. But that can be changed. Correct your internal voice when it goes on a negative tantrum. You can count 1 positive, 2 positive, 3 positive. Deal with and accept human, make mistakes, have flaws, and then you can forgive yourself. Number 10. Criticism versus encouragement. Replace focusing on the negative with encouragement. Keep constructive criticism instead of being critical. I would try and do better next time. Sounds better than, I always make that mistake, darn it. But replace it 1 positive, 2 positive, 3 positive. I will try and do better next time. This also goes when you're working in a group. Compliment yourself and others on what you have achieved. Saying, we didn't do it all, but we did do a good job on what was completed. Give positive feedback and get feedback from others, which can be very encouraging. Those are the 10 strategies. So once we work on those strategies, you do a summation. And when that summation is, there's other things that we have to look at because that means you've got to have to change. Passion knows no one is perfect and requires that you do not chastise yourself. Sometimes we need to forgive and forget. Dismiss things that become barriers to finding your passion. Eliminate harboring painful memories, bad feelings towards others. We need to stop coveting people you really need to get out of your life. Letting the past control parts of your life, thereby blocking your passion. You are the only one that determines your future and what it takes to fulfill your passion. Today is a great day to start, but it's just the beginning. Keep a journal about your thoughts, your feelings, about elements that affect your overall outlook on life and towards others. Write down what your thoughts and feelings are. And then go back and check it every once in a while and see if you've made improvement. Some general things. You can start out with some general things. Like, are you a positive thinker? Do you always kick negativity in the butt? Do you feel responsible for more than you should? Do you treat yourself kindly? If you choose the brighter side of life, work with some of these strategies, then your passion is right around the corner. We're going to talk about positivity, because positivity really starts you on the right road and helps you not to make too many detours. We're going to take a minute break. We'll be right back. And we're going to go into these ways of making your passion on a positive road. We'll be back in 1 minute. Hi, and welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. And today, we're delving into asking our listening audience a question. Under our starlight topic, what is your passion? And a discussion of where do you start in finding your passion? Please go to our site, Wish Upon a Star, at www.bbsradio.com, station 2, and listen to even some of the other previous broadcasts in the archive link. We welcome comments and suggestions by email at musicradio34@gmail.com. We will continue our conversation about finding your passion and what do you have to do to really get into that mental mode to get the motivation for what some of the things you want to do. This is not always into getting opening up a business. It could be choosing a career for your children to help them. It could be advising them. Once you have the background, what about choosing an occupation, whether or not you're already in a job, but you want to get out of it, but you just don't know how to do it. Passion says the motivation in getting an occupation. There are different reasons individuals are motivated for an occupation. One of these includes passion for the occupation. Again, looking at all of those strategies, writing things down, and you will know which occupation. So that is almost like a thread from one passion to another. When an individual is passionate about their occupation, they tend to be less obsessive about their behavior while on their job, resulting in more work being done and more work satisfaction. These same individuals have higher levels of psychological well-being. When people genuinely enjoy their profession and are motivated by their passion, they tend to be more satisfied with their work and more physiologically healthy. When an individual is unsatisfied with their profession, they are also dissatisfied, listen to this, with their family relationships and experience psychological distress. Other reasons people are more satisfied when they are motivated by their passion for their occupation include the effects of intrinsic and external motivations. When an individual is doing the job to satisfy others, they tend to have lower levels of satisfaction and psychological health. Also, these same individuals have shown they are motivated by several beliefs and fears concerning other people. Thirdly, though some individuals believe one should not work extreme hours Many prefer it because of how passionate they are about the occupation. If you're not on the job, let's say you do like to write, you do like to paint. I've experienced the fact that I have stayed in the studio to 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning because I was working on a piece, because I was passionate about finishing it. It's healthy because your mind is relaxed and you love what you're doing. On the other hand, this may also be a strain on the family relationships and friendships at some time. But the balance of the two is something that is hard to achieve, and it is always hard to satisfy both parties. So again, your strategies have to come into play to make sure that everybody's on the same page. You're going to have those inner pressures because of what you like to do. Let's say it's a work enjoyment versus inner pressures. There are different components that come to play that qualify as reasons for considering an individual as a workaholic. Let's refer to a 1992 study by stating two of the three workaholism components that are used to measure workaholism. These include feeling driven to work because of inner pressure and work enjoyment. Both of these affect an individual differently, and each has different outcomes. To begin, work enjoyment brings about more positive work outcomes and is unrelated to health indicators. Inner pressure, on the other hand, is negatively related with work outcomes and has been related negatively to measures of psychological health. You can make a reference to this when examining work enjoyment and inner pressure. Work enjoyment and inner pressure were tested with performance ratings, and the former was positively related to performance ratings, while the latter interfered with the performance-enhancing aspects of work enjoyment. When explaining how these two workaholism components affect life satisfaction, it wasn't surprisingly that inner pressure lowered the balance between work life and life satisfaction, but enhanced people's performance at their occupation. Whereas work enjoyment led to a positive balance between the two. Again, when individuals are passionate about their occupation and put in many hours, they then become concerned that their occupation will satisfy personal relationships, and the balance must then be found according to the importance levels of the individual. A great concern here is what they're saying in layman's term is that if you have something that is passionate that you like to do, regardless of how small, whether it's at work or just a personal motivational thing, it is a psychological as well as a physiological component of good health and thought. I think, and it brings to mind them taking out all of the activities in the schools for some of the oppressed people, inner city, that is. Can we say, even though we know it's true, that the relationship that have taken the swimming out of the schools, the musical activities, the art programs, the all of the arts out of the schools, that imbalanced the psychological health of the children in the schools, and it's still going on. So it would behoove people, parents, and the community to see what you can do about that. There aren't any more community centers where the kids can go to. And it is stated right here, and has been proven, that when you have a passion for something, and a lot of our kids have a passion, but if they don't have the tools and they don't have the place, it says that it will lower the balance between enjoyment, and pressure, inner pressures. Motivation and outcomes. The researchers have already documented and indicated different patterns of correlation between these two components of motivation and outcomes. People have to be motivated to do something. I know you've heard that many, many times. And in the opening dissertation, I said, what was the motivation of these experts, of these legendary people who made a great success? Their passion was their motivation. These patterns include antecedents and consequences. The two components offer unique motivations or orientations to work, which result in its effects on work and well-being. Inner pressures will hinder performance, while work enjoyment will smooth performance. Inner pressures of workaholism have characteristics such as persistence, rigidity, perfectionism, and heightened levels of job stress. This component is also associated with working harder and not smarter. On a more positive note, individuals who enjoy their work will have higher levels of performance, and this is for several reasons. And these include creativity, trust in their colleagues, and reducing levels of stress. I didn't find the statement, but I know Einstein said it about creativity, that creativity was even greater than a PhD. I pondered that for a moment. Being a creative person, I said, well, I wish I did have a PhD in economics, but that could be right. Again, if you have a passion and you can't exactly bring it forth out of you and it becomes inner pressure, that's not very good. The creativity of the mind makes you think about other things, as most artists would know. And if you have artist friends, I told one person I was walking or doing something, and I said, oh, isn't that gorgeous? Look at that. And they looked at me like, so I knew then they did not see what I saw in the creative manner of looking at something. If you enjoy your passion, it would have a higher level of performance of you just as an individual. Then we have the good and bad workaholics. People who have a passion that's a little over the top, they say. The study was made with a distinction between an individual being a good workaholic and being a bad workaholic. And it was cited that a good workaholic will score higher on measures of work engagement, and a bad workaholic will score higher on measures of burnout. I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that, especially when the job market began to decrease and there were layoffs and downsizing. You were a good workaholic, and you scored higher on measures, and you got a lot of merit increases. But then when that downsizing came, and they had you doing more than a five-person's job, you were doing 10 to 12 people's job because of the layoff. And that's when the bad workaholic comes in and would score higher on measures of burnout. In working on your passion, whether you're learning to play the piano, whether you're an artist, whether you're a writer, whether you're a screenwriter, or you're a promoter. One of my guests was supposed to be a promoter, and And I've had one, if you would listen to it on the in the archive, she was a music promoter for like 40-some years, and that program was extremely important. So her particular interview was very, very, and it sort of went on this particular point of how you can get a burnout because of the types of things that happen in your passion. She had spoke about how she would have a show, and then at the end of the show, the person didn't pay her enough money or all the money to pay the people who were in the show that she presented. And there was a lot of other little things that would create burnout if you want to give up. But she didn't give up. She didn't give up. They also suggest why this is, this burnout. Some individuals work because they are satisfied, engaged, and challenged to prove a point. On the other hand, the opposite kind work hard because they are addicted to work. They see that the occupation makes a contribution to finding an identity and purpose. Again, the identifiable passion. Do you have to work that hard to know what your passion is and to identify it? And really, the answer is no. It's not. It doesn't become a motivational passion if you work too hard, because then it means that it's taking over your life. You don't want a passion like that. You want something like you can consciously and unconsciously do and still have a life, or still don't feel like you're going to get burned out. But it's saying here that when they studied, they found that some people, they were trying to prove a point. And we all know what that does. You'll do it so much until it ends up being nothing. You can have a passion and have a lot of desire in it, because passion and desire go hand in hand. You ain't going to do nothing you don't want to do, you don't like to do. So because passion and desire go hand in hand, especially as a motivation, it's an intense driving or overmastering feeling or conviction. This might suggest that passion is a very intense emotion, like I've said, and it is, but can be positive or negative. Negatively, it may be unpleasant at times, and it could involve pain and have obsessive forms that can destroy the self and even others. Most of the times we see that when, not so much in the arts, but when a person has a passion so much that they have to go and they have to get a supplement to keep them going. And we know many, many stories, very sad, of people in the entertainment world where that passion is so, and they got to stay up there and they got to keep it, so they go look for a supplement. And that supplement, of course, sometimes, and in most times, take their lives. Because it's a desire so strong, it could involve pain and obsessive forms of behavior. In an occupation, when an individual is very passionate about their job, they may be so wrapped up in work that they cause pain to their loved ones by focusing more on their job than on their friendships and relationships. Again, another point we don't really need to emphasize, because we understand that even in today's time, because of the fact our young people don't want to hear about, or back in the old days, when you didn't have all this technology, when you didn't have to keep up with, well, it's not the Joneses anymore, it's the Bartholomews and the Rockefellers, and, you know, you got to have a $1 million home with a swimming pool, a billiard room. So they get wrapped up into this. And in order to pay for all of that, it caused pain to other people because they're focusing more on materialistic things than on their friendships and relationships. Not only does it take away from that, but it changes your whole attitude. It no longer becomes a passion. It becomes an obsessive trend. Your attitude changes. The way you greet people changes. The way you talk to people changes. So when you have that desire and the passion, it goes hand in hand, but you need a balance. This is a constant battle of balance that is difficult to achieve, and only an individual can decide where that line lies. Passion is connected to the concept of desire. It's connected, and you cannot take it away. Once the person rides in a, let's say, not a Mercedes-Benz, let's go a little higher than that, a Bentley. Once you get in and ride in a Bentley, you don't want to go back. So it's a constant battle of balance. Of trying to achieve this. It is so connected that sometimes, in fact, they are inseparable. According to a mostly Western way of thinking, well, that's related to Plato and Aristotle and Augustine, which we all studied back in school. These two concepts cause individuals to reach out for something or even someone. They both can either be creative or destructive. And this dark side can very well be dangerous to the self or others. Remember, when you do have a passion, it may consume you if you don't look at it with the strategies that I gave you and create a balance. Okay, let's move away from work. Okay, we don't do work now. We're talking about we have hobbies and invocations and vocations, and we do volunteer work. So we have, that's another passion, because sometimes you don't get paid for it, but you have a passion that you want to volunteer in senior homes. You want to volunteer for the children. You want to volunteer in the community. You want to volunteer in order to have fundraisers so that you can have these different types of programs for the community. So let's put it in a category called hobbies. And they say hobbies require, and they require a certain level of passion too. In order to continue engaging in the hobby, such things as singers, athletes, dancers, artists, and many others describe the emotion for their hobby as a passion. As I mentioned about our guest, I asked him, in one of the questions I ask every guest, how did you start? Boy, it's the most interesting thing to listen to. Like I said, this is our third year, and it gets better all the time. Why did you become a promoter? Why did you become a musician? Why did you become a griot? Why did you write that book? Who started you writing that music and making music? And the stories are very, very interesting. And it's their passion. It's a hobby, but it's their passion. Although this might be the emotion that they're feeling, passion is serving as a motivation for them to continue their hobby. They created a model. You know, everything has to be a model or a label or a reason. So I guess researchers created a model to explain different types of passion that contribute to engaging in an activity. We're going to talk about those. Dualistic, and intrinsic. When we come back in 1 minute. Hi, welcome back. This is Andale Banks of Wish Upon a Star. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you will listen to our other interviews on the show, Wish Upon a Star. We're broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, Station 2. And you can listen to the other broadcasts in the archive link. We also welcome comments and suggestions. Send them by email at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, comments and suggestions at musicradio34@gmail.com. We're continuing our conversation today under one of our other topics of Wish Upon a Star, a starlight topic. And our topic today was addressed to our listening audience to ask you, what is your passion? And then we discussed where you start in finding your passion with an outline of 10 strategies. As a summary on different types of passion, we will continue. We were in the segment as a motivation for hobbies, passion, and the two different types of passion that contribute to engaging in any activity is dualistic and intrinsic. Now, under your dualistic model of passion, a dualistic model in which passion is defined as a strong inclination or desire toward a self-defining activity that one likes or maybe even loves, that one finds important, and in which one invests time and energy. It is proposed that there exist two types of passion. The first type of passion is harmonious passion. A harmonious passion refers to a strong desire to engage in the activity that remains under the person's control. This is mostly obtained when the person views the activity as part of their identity. Once an activity is part of the person's identity, then the motivation to continue this hobby is even stronger. I have lots of friends who sing, and they have a certain way of singing, and now their identity is, you're a great singer. Even the artist. I have several artist friends. You look at their painting, you know exactly who painted that because they have put their passion as part of their identity. So once an activity is part of the person's identity, then the motivation to continue this hobby is even stronger. The harmony obtained with this passion is conceived when the person is able to both to be freely engaged in or to stop the hobby. It's not so much that the person is forced to continue this hobby, but on his or her own free will is able to engage in it. Let's say, for example, the girl loves to play volleyball, but she has a project due the next day and her friends invite her to play. She's able to say no on her own free will. Meaning that if you have a passion and it's your job, because if you don't continue it, you won't have any money. Some artists, it's their life's work. So can they take a break? When can they take a break? So that's the dualistic model where you have a passion that you work at, but you got to because it's your life work. Or one that you said, well, I'll have exhibit, but I'm only going to have my exhibits in the spring and during the holidays. The second kind of passion is the dualistic model is obsessive passion. Being the opposite of harmonious passion, this type has a strong desire to engage in the activity, but it's not under the person's own control, and he or she is forced to engage in the hobby, as we just gave an example. This type of passion has a negative effect on a person where they could feel they need to engage in their hobby to continue interpersonal relationships or fit in with the crowd. To change the above example, let's say that same example of this young lady. The girl has an obsessive passion towards volleyball, and she is asked to play with her friends. She will say yes, even though she needs to finish her project. Obsessive passion, willing to forgo the imbalance of what needs to be done to cater to the passion. Dualistic, the balance where you can choose whether you will or you won't, or the obsessive. Now, we come to the intrinsic motivation. Since passion can be a type of motivation for in hobbies, then assessing intrinsic motivation is appropriate. Intrinsic motivation helps define these types of passion. Passion naturally helps the needs or desires that motivate a person to some particular action or behavior. We're going to close with hoping that you will go back and listen to the 10 strategies of what is your passion and where do you start in finding your passion. Again, passion requires quiet. Passion asks you to become sensitive to what ignites you. To identify passion, ask yourself serious questions. Clues to your passion. Focus on what you can do, not what you can't do, and continue with finding that passion, but challenging your fear and taking risk, stepping and making a leap of faith, identifiable passion. List of I am. Make sure you make a list of I am. Number 9 says, passion requires positive thinking. And number 10, criticism versus encouragement. Today, again, is a good time to start. I hope this has given you some insight, but it's just the beginning. Again, keep a journal about your thoughts, of feelings, and elements that affect you. Are you a positive thinker? Can you avoid negative exaggeration? That's the key. To correct your inner voice to positivity. Do you always kick negativity in the butt? Do you feel responsible for more than you should? Do you treat yourself kindly? Ladies and gentlemen, if you choose the brighter side of life, then your passion is right around the corner. This is Andel, your host, and Denise Banks, your coordinator, saying, keep reaching for the stars.